So, is the church, called the Bride of Christ, destined for wrath or not? Our speaker doesn't think so, nor do we.
I truly believe with all my heart that not only can the rapture of the church happen at any time, but that it's actually closer than any of us might realize.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour we'll hear from the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel, Kaneohe, Hawaii. Today's program features J.D. Farag's message, Why the Rapture Can Happen at Any Time, a presentation Pastor Farag first delivered at our Understanding the Times conference held last October 7th in Metro Minneapolis. Thanks for joining us. To introduce today's broadcast, here's Jan Markell.
And welcome to the program. I'm continuing to share some conference messages from Understanding the Times 2017. This December, we had our annual event back on October the 7th, and I was delighted to feature Pastor J.D. Farag, who presented a topic that is a favorite to all of those who follow this ministry, and that would be the imminent rapture of the church, the Bride of Christ. Pastor J.D. Farag is a defender of the pre-trib rapture of the church, believing as I do that Jesus Christ would never perpetrate wrath on believers, although he allows man to do so. We are promised tribulation in the world, as it states in John 16:33, but as it says in Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. The church then disappears after Revelation 3 as we rejoice with our Lord in heaven and the tribulation plays out on earth. Let's head right on over to Pastor J.D. Farag with his message on the rapture.
Well, aloha. See? I love that. So I had the privilege of meeting some of you out front when I hijacked Amir's table. Not the first time an Arab has hijacked something belonging to the Jew. But I don't feel bad at all, and I'll tell you why. So this morning, he hijacked a lot of what I was going to say. I forgive you. I have to. And so I cannot even begin to tell you how much of a privilege it is. I'm so honored to be here with you today. And I was able to meet so many of you out front and then also up here. And I'm hoping to be able to meet more of you if the Lord presents that opportunity this afternoon or before we leave tonight. I had a lot of people ask me, so, what's up with the suit? Well, here's the thing with the suit, okay? In Hawaii, you really never get to wear a suit unless you're doing a memorial service or a wedding. And so I thought, you know, this is going to be great because I'm going to actually be able to wear clothes when I'm there, right? So I think I clean up okay, yeah? My wife thought so. She said, aw, we've been married for 29 years, and pray for her. So she couldn't be with me, and she wants me to give you her love, and she said, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to let you go and minister to the people. So again, it's such an honor to be here with you. Just cannot thank Jan enough again for all that she's done and how God has used her so mightily over the years. Well, you see there on the screen, I get to talk about my favorite subject and topic in all the world, the rapture of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm really looking forward to what the Lord has, and so if you don't mind, I want to get right to it. Have so much that I believe the Lord has put on my heart to share with you. I truly believe with all my heart that not only can the rapture of the church happen at any time, but that it's actually closer than any of us might realize. I think of what Jesus said about how that he would come at a time when we expect not. In other words, it can happen at any time. I love how one did a play on words regarding the doctrine, the sound doctrine of imminence, and said imminence can be best understood this way. It can happen any minute. Did you catch that? I'll do it again. The rapture is imminent. It can happen at any minute. I'm going to make a statement. I've shared it before, and I suppose this is probably as good of a time as any to share it again. And please know that when I say this, I'm being honest, and it's not hyperbole. I'm just speaking from my heart to yours that were it not for the blessed hope of the imminent return of Jesus Christ for his bride, I would literally go out of my mind. I have to say that, as Michelle was sharing, how heartbreaking is that? How heartbreaking is what is taking place in the world today? So what I want to do is, in no particular order, I just want to share quickly. Oh, I better watch the clock here. So I'm going to take my watch off. It reminds me of another story. Don't worry, Michelle, this will be fast. It won't be 2 minutes. So the pastor gets up to the pulpit, takes his watch off, and the son, sitting with his father, asks him, "So what does it mean when the pastor takes his watch off?" To which his father replied, "Absolutely nothing." So I'm watching it now, and so what follows are 7 reasons that we can and should, as Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 21:28, to look up and lift up our heads, knowing that our redemption draws nigh. And I want to begin with this first one, which I think is in some ways first and foremost, but I'm going to have to just ask you to kindly allow me to proceed with the presupposition that you're all well-versed on the prophetic scriptures. I'll just simply, in the interest of time, refer to many of them. I'm doing this for the purpose of saving as much time as I can at the end to really share something the Lord has been ministering to me as of late. So much is happening so fast, wouldn't you agree? It's the likes of which we've really never seen before in human history. And I think it's incumbent upon all of us to understand the times and, like the men of Issachar, know what to do. The clarion call is to know that not only are we living in the last moments of world history as we know it, but we need to know what to do while there's still time. So let's start with this first one, and it's this increasing mocking and ridiculing of the Lord's return, but more specifically, the rapture, and even more specifically, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. It has come under such satanic attack. And when I say satanic attack, I mean satanic attack. What do we know to be true about the enemy? He is the father of lies. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the author of confusion. And so what is happening now, I believe, concerning the pre-tribulation rapture, is this increasing attack on the sound doctrine. I don't call it the pre-tribulation rapture theory. It's not a theory. This is a sound doctrine and truth from the pages of Holy Writ. I suppose in some ways we shouldn't be surprised. This is actually a sign in and of itself. The Apostle Peter, in his second epistle, wrote chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, and told us that scoffers will come in the last days. And interesting, they'll be walking according to their own lusts, and they'll say very sarcastically, "Where's the promise of his coming? Everybody has thought he was going to come in their lifetime, and yet he doesn't come. Everything goes on as it has from the beginning of creation." I hate to say it, but I have to say it. It's going to get worse. As we near that time when that trumpet sounds, it's going to get worse.
If you just join me, I'm playing a message given by Pastor J.D. Farag, Why the Rapture Can Happen at Any Time. This was given at Understanding the Times 2017, back on October the 7th.
Well, again, I want to move very quickly. The second reason that I believe the rapture can happen at any time has to do with what I see as this insatiable quest for peace and security. Some of your translations render it safety. It's the same word in the Greek, asphalia, which can be translated either safety or security. But you just about can't watch a news report or read an article without hearing those two words. And you see it there on the screen this year at the UN. I appreciate it very much what Michelle shared about the UN. But this year's UN General Assembly, the theme was Together for Peace, Respect, Safety, and Dignity for All. And this was on September 21st, and it was dubbed the International Day of Peace at the United Nations in New York. I happened to be there right before you were there, Michelle. I was there for a different reason. My daughter was selected to sing the anthem at the U.S. Tennis Open in New York, and we had the privilege of taking her there and in this Arthur Ashe Stadium, the largest tennis stadium in the world. And her mom and I were just a little bit nervous. And she got up there and she gave all the glory to God, and she sang America the Beautiful as her immigrant father wept. Oh, how I wish my mother and father were alive to see their granddaughter sing America the Beautiful. Only God could do that. You see, they came here and immigrated when I was 9 months old, legally, by the way. They immigrated legally. And oh, by the way, they assimilated as well. And had they not, I don't know that I would be standing before you today, let alone alive, let alone even saved. And I thank God every day that they came to America with 20 U.S. dollars in their pocket, and they worked themselves so hard. And for 5 years, they sought to get their citizenship. And on that day, they stood there, pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America with tears streaming down their face. It was a dream. My dad was quoted in the newspaper at the time who did a report on it, and he said, "This is my new birthday." And he celebrated. I'm going somewhere with this. At least I'm trying to anyway. Because I want to come back to this. Because this happened at the very time that athletes in a similar stadium would take a knee when the anthem was sung. I want to read 1 Thessalonians 5:3. I know it's a verse you're familiar with, but as I do, I want to draw your attention to four words, and I also want you to take these four words and sort of put them in your hip pocket for now, because I want to come back to them in a moment. The Apostle Paul is writing by the Holy Spirit, and he says, "For while they are saying peace and security," here's the first word, "sudden destruction comes upon them," the second word, "as labor pains upon a pregnant woman," and here's the third word, "they shall not," and the fourth word, and it's huge, "escape." Sudden, them, they, and escape. Hang on to that. I want to come back to that. This brings us to the fourth reason, and it's that of the prophetic birth pains that are increasing in frequency and intensity. Now, I'm keenly aware that there are those who hold to the belief that we've always had earthquakes, we've always had, you know, catastrophic events and hurricanes and natural disasters. And there are others who believe that actually the birth pains will start when the seven-year tribulation starts. And I get that. However, I am personally of the belief that the size and scope of what we're witnessing today is indeed the fulfillment of the beginning of those birth pains. And the first time we see that or hear that referenced or used as a comparison is by the Savior himself in Matthew's gospel, and it's in the 24th chapter. Again, I'll just reference it. You're familiar with it. Jesus is answering a question, actually two questions, a twofold question. The disciples ask him about what will be the signs of your return and the end of the age. And then Jesus proceeds to answer them by saying that there's going to be wars and threats of wars. That word rumors, as some of your translation renders it, can be better translated threats. So there'll be wars, and there will also be threats of wars, and then there'll be nations rising up against nations. And then he goes on to describe how there's going to be famines and earthquakes, and they're going to be like birth pains that will come in greater frequency and greater intensity. Let's move to the fifth reason quickly. I believe the rapture can happen at any time because of the current situation in Syria, specifically concerning Damascus. If you were to ask me what I thought the Bible prophecy was that was next on God's prophetic clock to be fulfilled, it would, in my humble opinion, and by the way, this is only an opinion, and you know what opinions are like? It's been said that they're like armpits. We all have a couple, and they sometimes stink. So, my opinion, okay? In my opinion, I think that we are on the cusp of seeing Isaiah 17, verse 1, fulfilled, a prophecy concerning Damascus, that it will become a ruinous heap, so much so that it will be uninhabitable. Now, here's the thing, and this sort of ties in with the wars, the threats of wars. Are you aware that Russia is threatening the U.S.? I said the U.S. by way of Syria. This was a recent Ynet news report about how that Russia is, quote, threatening to target U.S.-backed fighters in Syria if they're provoked, which, here's what's interesting, they've already done it twice. And so now Russia is saying, one more time, that's it. That's it. Did I just blow out a speaker again? Had an online member approach me out front with a manila folder, and he said, there are four receipts for speakers that you have to reimburse me for that you blew out when, you know, you get kind of Palestinian behind the pulpit. I'm trying to calm down, you know, as I get older. I don't do that as much, but, you know, my wife said, you know, you're the pulpit-pounding, passionate Palestinian pastor. She came up with five of those things. So I'm trying to not do that. It's not good for my blood pressure either. There's another P.
Other speakers at our annual event included Amir Sarafati, who gave two messages, and Michelle Bachman, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock, who each gave one presentation. We have CDs and DVDs of both. DVDs contain valuable PowerPoint, and I'll give you information on how to order those later in the program. I'm going to take a couple of minute timeout. Back in just 2 minutes.
We'll get right back to J.D. Farag's pre-recorded fall conference message in just a moment. First, a quick reminder. All the speakers' messages from the 2017 Understanding the Times conference are available for purchase in our web store. Just click on to olivetreeviews.org. As we close out the old year this weekend, we're looking forward to 2018. Our faithful listeners have made this broadcast ministry one of the most listened to weekend programs in the nation. We invite you to stand with us in the coming year by helping to underwrite the cost of maintaining this listener-supported outreach. Your tax-deductible gifts are always welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can give safely and securely online as well. Visit olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. With a new year upon us, we thank God for His direction in helping us bring you the truth every week in 2017. We deeply appreciate your prayers for our media team in the coming year as they work to bring you the best in Christian programming every weekend. Pastor Farag returns right after this.
Over the years, a frequent letter or email I receive states just how many of you feel alone. Your church has let you down, and in some cases, those closest to you also have disappointed you. Many today do not want the truth. They want sugar-coated candy. I've tried to present the truth on this program for 17 years, even the inconvenient truth. I've tried to encourage you and equip you for the times in which we live. Think about a year-end tax-deductible gift right now to Olive Tree Ministries. Visit our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, or call us business hours at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444. You can always drop us a tax-deductible check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. If you do, we'll keep this up in the new year and we'll look up together, awaiting our soon coming King.
God declares that if you try to divide Jerusalem, I will divide you. I was struck by Amir's statement, which I really appreciated, when he said that he has never seen a nation so divided as America is today. Now, this is why, and I come full circle, but I do want to suggest this. Is it possible that the reason why America is so divided is because America heretofore has sought to divide Jerusalem?
On Understanding the Times today, you're enjoying a message first delivered by Pastor J.D. Farag at the October 7th Understanding the Times Conference, held annually in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Before we get back to that presentation, once again, Jan Markell.
Pastor J.D. Farag pastors the Calvary Chapel of Kaneohe, Hawaii, and he has a very popular YouTube presentation, a prophecy update that he gives every Sunday. I encourage you to look that up on YouTube. I wouldn't miss it, and it's a weekly presentation. I'm airing his message, Why the Rapture Can Happen at Any Time, on this radio program today. Let's head right back to J.D. Farag.
So here's the thing. Israel, according to this Haaretz report, has attacked Syria and struck Syria numerous times, dozens of times since 2012. But since then, according to one source, it's now approaching the triple digits, over 100 times. Listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the kitchen drawer, but when you've got that much from that many in that place, something has to give. Wouldn't you agree? That it's really, to me, only a mouse click away, if I can say that, to borrow a computer metaphor. Well, this brings us to, and also ties in with, the sixth reason, which is, again, the familiar prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and 39 about Russia and Iran leading an alliance of nations that launch this attack against Israel, unsuccessful, thankfully, by the way, because God will intervene. And this is what I want to spend just a little bit of time on, if you don't mind. I've long held to the belief that Isaiah 17:1 concerning Syria will be the catalyst for the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. By catalyst, I mean it's the nexus. It's that which triggers and then brings about very suddenly, I'm going to use that word suddenly again, the attack against Israel by way of Russia and Iran, exactly as Ezekiel 38 has prophesied. And I'm going to show you a slide that I actually put together a while back, and I want you to note how that in the yellow are the nations that are conspicuously absent from the list of nations that are allied with Russia and Iran when they attack Israel. Now, this is key because amongst them is none other than Syria. You would think that Syria would be mentioned in that Ezekiel 38:39 prophecy. They're not. So does that mean then that it's very possible that Isaiah 17:1, the destruction of Damascus, would explain the absence of Syria from the Ezekiel 38 prophecy? I would suggest that that is a very plausible scenario. Now, I know that both Amir and Michelle have talked about America and what's happening in and to America, and this is what I want to talk about. I did delete quite a few slides. Thank you very much, Amir. Shukran Habibi. It's okay. I still love you. The question to me is, and I want to seek to answer it scripturally and reasonably, the question is, what happens to America? What happens to the once most powerful nation on earth in order for this to be so? And I know that you're probably not going to like the answer, but I believe it's already happening, present tense, as we speak. So I want to ask you if you'll kindly allow me to present another scenario. Is that okay, Amir, if you had five, so I'm going to hijack back like two of them. Is that okay? All right. Sort of. I was thinking about when Michelle was referencing the Zechariah 12 prophecy about how that, you know, Jerusalem will be a burdensome stone, a cup of trembling, a heavy stone, boundary stone, and all who try to move it will injure themselves. And by Amir's statement, which I really appreciated, when he said that he has never seen a nation so divided as America is today. Now, this is why, and I come full circle, but I do want to suggest this. Is it possible that the reason why America is so divided is because America heretofore has sought to divide Jerusalem? You know, in one translation, it's a little bit more intense. And you'll forgive me, but God declares, I will cut you into pieces if you try to cut Jerusalem into pieces. So, to me, it seems that not only is America being systematically dismantled and destroyed from within, but America is also the target of sudden destruction from without. You know what this whole thing about the anthem protests are about, right? It's about dismantling and destroying the Judeo-Christian foundation of this great nation that I am so grateful for and love so very much. And I know you do too. And you know, when we were in New York, I had the privilege of meeting an online member who heads the anti-terrorism unit for the NYPD at the NYPD bomb squad. And he took my wife and my daughter and I on a tour there and got to meet some of these guys. These are heroes, man. These are heroes. And I appreciated, Eric, you acknowledging the security and the police officers. We are so thankful to you. I tell you, the very thing they're trying to protest are the very people that give them the freedom to be able to protest. That I can't, you know, whenever I see somebody in uniform, and in Hawaii, it's a very pronounced military presence in that state, and I always walk up to them, and I always put my hand out, and I shake their hand, and I thank them for their service. Sometimes it freaks them out a little bit. Here's an Arab walking up to a... Whoa. Thank you for your service! It's kind of fun being me. I like to have fun with that.
If you just joined me playing a message by Pastor J.D. Farag, given at Understanding the Times 2017 back on October the 7th, why the rapture can happen at any time. Let's head right back to Pastor J.D.
This movement that's afoot, that is targeting America for destruction from without, is sadly gaining traction and momentum, and the goal is to destroy both America and Israel. Let's not forget that in Iran, America's the great Satan and Israel the little Satan. And they still chant, even while the ink was still drying on the nuclear deal by one Barack Hussein Obama, they were still chanting, death to America and death to Israel. Why? Because America is in the way. America will come to the defense of Israel, and that's why America has to be taken out of the way, so that she is rendered inconsequential in coming to the defense of Israel. We are in the bullseye. America, and this is the why behind the what, if I can say it that way. We are in the bullseye because America is in the way of this target, this destruction against Israel. And here's, and please hear me out on this. It will not succeed in destroying Israel. That is the promise that Israel has. However, no such promise is made to America. Am I right? Here's the truth. Something has to happen to America. And this is why I believe we are now hearing about particularly North Korea. You have to understand that for the last 10 years, Iran and North Korea have been very chummy, for lack of a better word. And I'll tell you, Iran wants to destroy America vis-a-vis North Korea and a nuclear attack. Now, of course, living in Hawaii, when I talk about this, makes people a little bit nervous because we're there where he is. And so, but the thought is that once America is out of the picture, then there's nobody that is going to be able to come to defend Israel. Get this, Israel will have to look to their God. That's the point. Is it not? Don't you find it interesting that in Ezekiel 38, Zechariah 12, and others as well, that the Lord himself declares, you know why I'm doing this? So that you will know that I am the Lord your God. There's no America. There's no nation. All the nations are gathered against her. What happens to America? Well, maybe they succeed. And that's, again, just from without. Maybe it comes that way. Time doesn't permit me to talk really about the destruction from within, except to say this, that if there is a measure of success in trying to remove, you know what they're wanting to do now, right? They want to remove the national anthem altogether. Oh, you knew that was coming, didn't you? Isn't that why they're tearing down everything? And they want no evidence of any Judeo-Christian foundation in the United States of America, because then it sort of validates their illegitimate claim to this once most blessed and powerful nation on earth. Let me say this just parenthetically. I believe that today in the United States of America, our beloved America, we are still enjoying the residual blessing of our support of the nation of Israel. I believe that. I believe that. So I hope you're not giving way to despair. Okay, you are. So sorry. I thought Amir did a great job of really depressing us until the very end there, and so. But I want to suggest a plausible scenario. And you see it there on the screen, and here it is. It is very plausible that the sudden destruction coming down may in fact be simultaneous with the sudden disappearance of Christians going up. Wouldn't that explain it? No, wouldn't that explain it? I was talking to Mark Hitchcock last night at dinner, and we were talking about this, and he made the comment to me about how that it's believed there are approximately, according to Barna, I think it was Barna, about 30 million Christians in America, okay? Now, think about that. Some of whom hold key positions in the United States. And all of a sudden destruction comes down, and then we, and by the way, in the twinkling of an eye, that's not a blink, that's like a sparkle. That's pretty sudden, right? That's how quick it's going to be. I always jokingly say that I'm going to tell my mid-trib and pre-rath and post-toasty trib. That's not nice to say that. Pray for me. I said pray for me. That's why. But I jokingly say, on the way up, I'm going to tell you I told you so. But that's not scriptural, because there won't be enough time. It's going to happen so fast. But doesn't that, and I want you to think through this, doesn't that explain and sort of reconcile and fit with an America that is absent? And doesn't that sort of explain it and reconcile with it? And here's the thing, once the salt and light, not to mention the restrainer, is removed, then that's when the evil and the darkness, unthinkable, unspeakable evil, will ensue. Here's the bottom line, and I want to have you pull those four words out if you don't mind. We are going to escape. Escape, yeah. Have you had well-intentioned Christians say to you, oh, you pre-tribs, you just want to escape? I'm like, and you don't? Are you kidding me? My wife says it this way, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. That's a sanctified, you know. But we're going to escape. We are going to, that's not a word, right? We are going to escape all that is about to come upon the whole earth. And that escape is the blessed hope of the rapture of the church of Jesus Christ. Listen to what Jesus said. It's recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21. I want to read just very quickly, verses 32 through 36. Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you." And here it is. Suddenly, like a trap, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the earth. Be always on watch and pray that you may be able to. Thanks. Let's just close in prayer. You guys already know this. Escape. Escape. What is he talking about? Escape. Escape what? That which is coming. Am I yelling? I'm yelling. I'm going to yell. We're going to escape that which is coming upon the whole earth. This is the only reason I could get up in the morning. This is the only reason that when I lay my head down on my pillow at night that I can sleep at night, knowing that that trumpet is going to sound and I'm out of here and so are you.
If you want to check out complete sets of CDs or DVDs of this event, also featuring Amir Sarfati, Michelle Bachman, and Dr. Mark Hitchcock, CD sets are $30 plus 5 shipping in the U.S., and DVDs are $35 plus 5 shipping in the U.S. Check those out in our store, olivetreeviews.org, and our various newsletters, print and e, or give my office a call, business hours, and we'll help you place that order. We'll wrap this up in just a couple of minutes.
Here's another Understanding the Times radio reminder. You can order a CD recording of today's broadcast when you call 763-559-4444. We keep in touch with you through our website. Our regular newsletters, all our archive radio programs, and much more can be found at olivetreeviews.org. You can also support this listener underwritten ministry safely and securely at that same web address, olivetreeviews.org. Your tax-deductible gifts are also welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Please stay with us. There's more from Pastor J.D. Farag to come.
As 2017 winds down, let me just thank you for being a partner with Understanding the Times Radio. Whether you are a prayer partner or financial supporter, we could not proclaim the good news that the King is coming without your participation. Many of you are tired of fake news, slanted news, left-wing stories, and an endless array of news that seems to glorify a depraved culture. Christian radio is a great alternative, and as long as you stand with us, we'll try to feature God's news and the good news of eternal life through Jesus Christ. My exhortation to you is to call on Him today to be Lord of your life. Tomorrow may be too late.
You're listening to Why the Rapture Can Happen at Any Time, a Fall 2017 conference message delivered by Calvary Chapel Pastor J.D. Farag. Here with the conclusion of that October 7 presentation, Jan Markell.
Remember, this program is always posted to my website, Saturday morning, olivetreeviews.org, and just head on over to radio. We have quite a few archived programs there. And encourage you again, sign up for my print and e-newsletter. I keep in touch with you that way. Feature some upcoming radio guests and topics. And if you do write to us, and particularly if you're giving a donation, always tell us what program you listen to. That helps us process giving from being on over 800 radio stations. I'm going to wrap things up with J.D. Farag and his message from October the 7th, why the rapture can happen at any time.
The writer of Hebrews, if you're wondering how we can escape, Hebrews 2, verses 2 through 4, answer that question. Listen, for if the word spoken through angels provided steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect a great salvation? Did you catch that? Oh, so if I neglect so great a salvation, I won't escape? Does that mean then, conversely, that if I come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, I will escape? Yes. Yes, yes. God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. I saved the seventh reason for last because to me it speaks to the heart of the matter. And when I say heart of the matter, I'm talking about the heart of our bridegroom, who I would suggest eagerly awaits that day, which will be our wedding day. And when we, with him, celebrate the fulfillment of the communion table. I am reminded of this every time we partake together of communion as a church in Hawaii, the church that I'm privileged to pastor. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, no less than two times, Jesus says that I eagerly wait and have desire to partake with you. Why? Because I won't partake again until it finds its fulfillment in the kingdom. You know what that means? That's the wedding feast of the Lamb. With us as his bride by his side, I can't wait. Yeah. Listen. I just want to share very quickly, I'm running out of time. The watch did mean something, but anyway. I courted my wife. We've been married for 29 years, going on 30. And yeah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Only God could bring a Kailua girl and a Beirut boy together, and only God could do that. But we courted for 2 years, and I proposed to her in a helicopter. I had a friend of mine that was a pilot. He was over the city at night, very romantic. I worked for Mercedes-Benz at the time, had a Mercedes-Benz red convertible 450 SL back in the day. Yeah, no, it's just, yeah, no, no, don't do that. So we had the top down summer night, you know, and it was a red Mercedes. And anyway, I won't go on and on about it, but so we go up in the helicopter and I pull out the ring. We had the headphones on, and I, will you marry me? Over, you know, and she, I'm going somewhere with this too, just bear with me. So then she's on the other end of it with, you know, you know, and she's crying, aw. So come to find out later that she's terrified of heights. And we have a plexiglass sheet separating us from certain death. And so she's like, I'll say anything, just get me out of this anyway. I counted the days down until our wedding day. I literally marked them off on the calendar as the bridegroom. Couldn't wait. Couldn't wait. Counted them down. She did too, I think, but no, she did. Couldn't wait. And here's what the Lord ministered to me, and I'll close. The Lord ministered to me this. You know how you couldn't wait for your wedding day? How much more for me? I eagerly await. Now, why do I share that? Because knowing that we have this to look forward to, this is what awaits. Doesn't that make whatever you're going through easier to get through? Listen, I know many of you in an audience this size, you brought with you to this conference some great trials, some very difficult and painful struggles. And the Lord knows. I want to encourage you this morning, this afternoon. What day is this? This Saturday? Oh, great. Okay, well. Jet lag. It's jet lag from it's a 5-hour time. It's morning in Hawaii, that's why. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you know it well. The Apostle Paul writing to a weary and discouraged church in Thessalonica. And what does he tell them? Listen, you guys, be encouraged and encourage one another, because the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. You be encouraged. This is what we have to look forward to. Here's the thing. Paul says, we. There's that other word. Remember that word? We, who are alive and remain, will be caught up. We who are alive and remain will escape. Here's the question. Are you a we? Or are you a they? Again, in a crowd this size, I make no assumptions. Maybe someone brought you here today to this conference. You had no idea what you were in for, did you? And you stuck it out. You're still here. Praise the Lord. You're here for a reason. You know what that reason is? You're no longer going to be a they. You're going to be a we. If you'll just give me 3 more minutes, I want to share with you how to be a we. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. And I do so by what's known as by way of the ABCs of salvation. And it's so childlike simple. Maybe it's too simple, but Jesus said you must become like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. So I want to just give you this real quickly. The A in the ABCs of salvation is for admit, or if you prefer, acknowledge. Acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. Romans 3:10 says that there is no one righteous, not even one. We were all born sinners, which is why we must be born again spiritually to enter the kingdom of heaven. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 sort of packages the good news with the bad news. The bad news first. The bad news is this. The wages of sin is death. It's the death penalty. But here's the good news. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's a gift that you receive. Ephesians 2:8-9 says we are saved by grace through faith. It is not of ourselves, not of works. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. The B is for believe in your heart. And this is Romans 10:9-10 that says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Not you might, not you could, not you should. You will be saved. And then the C, lastly, is for call, or if you prefer, confess. Confess with your mouth. This is what Romans 10:9-10 also says. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And here's why. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And Romans 10:13 finally and lastly, my favorite verse in all the Bible, along with all my other favorite verses in all the Bible. It says, all. You know what all means? Thank you. All who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So Here's the last thing, and then I'll end. All who call will be a we.
While it is important to know that the church does not endure the trials of the tribulation, even more importantly, we can know that if Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, we escape the fires of hell for eternity. That is what really counts, and that is what I want to leave you with. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ today. Name Him as the Lord of your life and have your eternity secured with Him forever. I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Across America and across the World Wide Web, we continue to report current events from a biblical perspective. Every weekend, this broadcast comes to you at no cost, but it costs us thousands of dollars. As we produce and distribute this weekly media outreach, would you consider standing with us? With an ever-changing world, men and women of faith need to keep informed. They need to be aware of current events as viewed through the lens of Scripture. Week after week, Jan Markell brings you a compelling hour, pointing out the dangers in today's culture and bringing hope through faith in Jesus Christ. We're asking you to join us in this listener-supported ministry as our financial partner. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Contributions are also accepted at olivetreeviews.org or by phone when you dial 763-559-4444. Don't forget, global updates with a biblical worldview are yours around the clock at olivetreeviews.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. We appreciate your continued prayer support for Jan and her media team. Jan Markell returns next week with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.